Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. And we will begin on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, about 20 lines from the bottom, with the words Trumas Yirkavu, as we, Be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach, Amasayim Amasechta. We learned in the Mishnah that if in the Ir Hanidachas Truma was found, the halacha is that Yirkavu, that Truma should be left to rot. We know that Truma is produce that we separate a shear to go to the Kohen. Amar Rav Chisda, so says Rav Chisda, when our Mishnah says that the Truma is left to rot, it's lo shanu ela betruma b'yad Yisrael. It's referring to Truma that the Yisrael has, that he still has the right to choose which Kohen to give that Truma to. However, Ava Truma B'yat Kohen, if it's Truma that was already given to the Kohen, Kimin D'Mamanehu, since that Truma is completely the property of the Kohen, so the halacha is Tisarf, it should be burnt like any other property belonging to the Kohen. And as the Rishonim point out, it makes no difference if the Kohen is a Rasha or a Tzaddik. The halach is that that Truma has the all the property, all the people in the Ir Nidachas, as we've discussed at length, even the Tzaddikim have to be killed and their property has to be destroyed, and therefore makes no difference if it's ready by the Kohen, it's his property and it must be destroyed. Ask the Gemara Masa Rav Yosef, the Mishnah continued teaching us Ma'aseh Sheni v'Kisvei Kodesh, that if Ma'aseh Sheni v'Kisvei Kodesh are found in that Ir Hanidachas, the halacha is Yignazu, they should be buried. Now let's think about it. Ask the Gemara. For Ma'aseh Sheni b'Yad Yisrael, Ma'aseh Sheni that Yisrael is holding on to is similar, is identical to Truma b'Yad Kohen Dami. It's similar to Truma that a Kohen is holding on to, Viktani, and yet the Mishnah says that if it's Ma'aseh Sheni in the Yisrael's hand, it should be Yignazu, it should be buried, not burnt. But why are we distinguishing, asked the Gemara, between Ma'aseh Sheni in the hands of Yisrael and Truma in the hands of the Kohen? They should both be treated the same way. And of course, the Rishonim point out, the Gemara could have answered that our Mishnah follows the opinion that Ma'aseh Sheni Mamon Gevayuhu, but our Mishnah didn't want to follow that, our Gemara did not want to give that teretz, because the Halacha actually follows the opinion of the Chachamim that Ma'aseh Sheni is not Mamon Gevayuhu. So why is there a distinction between Truma in the hands of a Kohen and Ma'aseh Sheni in the hands of Yisrael? Says the Gemara, because of this question, we have to revise what Rav Chisda said. Eli Yitma Hoch Yitma. Am Rav Chisda, Lo Shanal Truma B'yat Kohen. Truma that's left in the hands in the Kohen, that Truma we don't burn like all other property of the Ir Nidachas, rather it's left to rot. Av Truma B'yat Yisrael, if it's Truma in the hands of Yisrael, since the Yisrael has every right still to give it to any Kohen that he wants, and he can give it to a Kohen that doesn't live in the city, and therefore that Kohen's property obviously doesn't have to be burnt like the property of an Ir Nidachas, that Truma, if it's still in the hands of Yisrael, of a Yisrael, the halacha is to Nosson LeKohen Shebi'er Cheres, give it to a Kohen from a different city, and it won't be treated like Ir Hanidachas property alone. Continues the Gemara, Tanan Hossam, we learned in a Mishnah, Easter Shal Ma'aseh Sheni, if somebody made a dough out of Ma'aseh Sheni produce, the halacha is Ptura Min Chala. It's potter from Chala. Divrei Rameya. That's Rameya's opinion. The Chum say that it's Chayiv and Chala. Says the Gemara, Am Rav Chisda, Machloikus b'Ma'aseh Sheni b'Yerushalayim. The Machloikus between Ramei and the Chachamim is strictly when somebody has a Ma'aseh Sheni produce, Ma'aseh Sheni dough in Yerushalayim. The Rameis of the opinion, the Maita Sheni Mamun Gavayuhu, and therefore it is Potter from Chala. V'chamma Rabbanan Savri Mamun Hedjithu, and since it's Mamun Hedjit, it's Chayiv and Chala. Ava B'Gvulim, when it's outside of Yerushalayim, so it still can't be eaten there. There, everybody will agree, Divrei Hakol Potter, that there's no Chayiv Chala. And the Machlokes, why? Some learn, because everybody agrees, that Ma'is Sheni outside of Yerushalayim has the status of Mamun Gavoya. Another pshat, which is a difficult pshat, because we know that not everybody always agrees that Ma'is Sheni is Mamun Gavoya. And now we're being mechadish, according to these Rishonim, that even though Ma'is Sheni in Yerushalayim is not Mamun Gavoya, Ma'is Sheni outside of Yerushalayim will be considered Mamun Gavoya. And therefore, other Rishonim explain a different reason why it's Patum Chala. The Torah says, the Torah in describing the Chi of Chala uses the words Rashis Arisoi Seichem. So, what is considered Rashis Arisoi Seichem? When it's your dough, Arisoi Seichem, dough that you may eat. But here we're referring to dough that may not yet be eaten, because it's Ma'is Sheni that's not yet in Yerushalayim, and therefore it doesn't fall into the category of a Risei Seichem, that it should be allowed to be, that it should have a Chiyuv Chala. Masa Rav Yosef asks Rav Yosef on this from what we just learned in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if one found in Ir HaNidachas Ma'is Sheni or Kisvei Kodesh, the Halacha is Yignesu, they should be left to be buried. Now let's think about it. But Ma'is Kinen, exactly where is the Mishnah, where did this situation happen? Ilem Yerushalayim, if we're saying that we're referring to it, if it happened in Yerushalayim, ask the Gemara, mi havi ir nidachas? Can Yerushalayim ever be ir nidachas? V'tanya, asar dvarim nem Yerushalayim, there's 10 rules that were said about Yerushalayim, v'zu achsmem, and one of them is, that ain't anasas ir nidachas, that Yerushalayim can never become ir nidachas, vel. And the reason is because the Torah, in speaking about the Ir HaNidachas, says Be'achad Orecha, in one of your cities. Yerushalayim is not just one of your cities. Yerushalayim is the Miuchadim Shevarecha. It's the most significant city of ours, and therefore, it's not considered. It's not a place that could become an Ir HaNidachas. So when we speak about Ma'is Sheni found in Ir HaNidachas, it can't be Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim can never be Ir Nidachas. Vela, Biracheres. What happened is that the Ma'is Sheni originated in a different city, that city became, and that city, Raskula Gavon, and then they brought that Ma'is Sheni to Yerushalayim, and then that city from where this Ma'is Sheni originated became Ir Nidachas. Ask the Gemara, there's a halacha of a kultur mechitzis, that once Ma'is Sheni is brought to Yerushalayim, it may not be removed from Yerushalayim. So, what's the question that it became an Ir Nidachas? It still has to remain in Yerushalayim because kultur mechitzis. Elav, what's the Mishnah referring to? Begvulim, that we're referring to Ma'is Sheni found in a city, it's still in the city which is outside Yerushalayim, and then that city became an Ir Nidachas. Viktani, and what does our Mishnah say regarding such Ma'is Sheni? That Yignazu, it should be buried. Now, if we're going to hold that Ma'is Sheni outside of Yerushalayim is Mamun Gavoya, so it's not the private property of the owner, so why should the halacha be that Yignazu? The halacha should be that it should be allowed to be used. Loi. Answers the Gemara, it's talking about a case, the Ir Acheres for Skula Gavoh. Ma'is Sheni that originated outside Yerushalayim and then was brought to Yerushalayim, v'hocha b'ma'is kinen, our Mishnah is referring to situation shenitma, where this Ma'is Sheni became tamei, and therefore, since the Ma'is Sheni became tamei, that's why so it can't be eaten, and that's why the Mishnah is talking, teaches us that the halacha is yignazu. So ask the Gemara, if it became tamei, Velifrike, why isn't it not just redeemed? Dama Rabbi Elazar, but couldn't Rabbi Elazar teach us, Menayin L'Ma'is Sheni Shenitma, Shepaynoi Sofil Yerushalayim, that although the halacha is, that once Ma'is Sheni is brought to Yerushalayim, it may no longer be redeemed. The halacha is that's only if it wasn't tamei. But if it becomes tamei, even though it's already been brought to Yerushalayim, the halacha is it may be redeemed. Dom Rabbi Elazar, for Rabbi Elazar taught us, the Masasheni that got tamei shepaydnei sof Yerushalayim, even if it's already in Yerushalayim, it may be redeemed. Tamalaymer, because the pasuk says, the Torah says that let's say pashup shad in the pasuk is that if it's too difficult to bring the ma'aser shein to Yerushalayim, the pasuk says from the sat bekesav tzata kesav yotcha v'lach del makom. So pashup shad the Torah is teaching us that if it's too difficult to schlep it to Yerushalayim, the halacha is that one should be poyde it outside of Yerushalayim and bring the money to Yerushalayim and spend it on food in Yerushalayim. However, teaches us Rabbi Elazar, there's another din that this pasuk is teaching us. Tamalayim alay suchla se'esoi, if you can't do se'esoi, and says Rabbi Elazar, the definition of se'es is al-chila, if you can't eat it, and how do we know that se'es means al-chila? Shnav v'yitza masas me'espanav, that if you can't eat it, then you could be pided, even though it's already in Yerushalayim. So if our Mishnah is referring to a situation that it became Tamei, why is the Mishnah saying Yignazu? The Mishnah should allow it to be redeemed. Answers the Gemara, Hach Maiskin B'Lekuach. Indeed, if Maisesheni food was brought to Yerushalayim and became Tamei even in Yerushalayim, the halacha is you would be allowed to be pided. But let's say you bought money, Maisesheni money to Yerushalayim. That means you had produce outside of Yerushalayim, you redeemed it on money, you brought that money to Yerushalayim, and then that food that you bought with that money becomes tamei. So that's food that's considered lekuach, food that was bought from the proceeds of Maaseh Sheni. There the halacha is that if that food becomes tamei, the halacha is you can't be paid it. And the reason is because since it has a lower level of kedusha, because it's only lekuach for Maaseh Sheni, something which is only lekuach does not have the ability to be redeemed. Ask the Gemara, why? For lifrike, you should be allowed to redeem it. The Tanan, have we not learned in the Mishnah that lekuach bekesav Maaseh Sheni shenitma, produce that was bought with Maaseh Sheni money, and that produce became tamei, or that food became tamei, that lochas yifta? Answers the Gemara, our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, dam yikaver. Our Mishnah is referring to the opinion, goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that says that since this is a lower level of Kedusha, it doesn't have the ability to be transferred through a redemption process. And therefore, there is no option of redemption, and the only halacha is that it has to be buried. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case of our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is referring to just a simple situation, that the food that was bought with Maaseh Sheni money that became Tamei, there is no option other than to bury that food, because redemption is not an option. So why does it have to do with Irin Nidachas? Our Mishnah has been discussing Irin Nidachas. What does it have to do with Irin Nidachas? Hihachi asked the Gemara, my Irin Nidachas. Why is this relevant to the halachas of Irin Nidachas? I feel the Amanami, it's a regular halacha, that lekuach, that became Tamei, you have no choice but to bury. Therefore, says the Gemara, we have to say our Mishnah is referring to a situation of Tahor. Food that is indeed Tahor. And Maaseh Sheni, that's indeed Tahor. We ask that Maaseh Sheni is Tahor, HaKaltua Mechitzis. So there's no question that it remains in Yerushalayim, and therefore, since it remains in Yerushalayim, the halacha is that it should be eaten in Yerushalayim, and there's no reason it should be buried. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah is referring to a situation of Kigoyin the Nafal Mechitzis, where the Mechitzis of Yerushalayim fell down, and our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rava, Dama Rava. In order that you should be able to eat Maaser in Yerushalayim, you have to have the wall of Yerushalayim. That's a din Midaraisa. Liklite, that Maaser Sheni, once it's taken Yerushalayim, must remain there and can't be taken out, is only the Rabbanan. V'chi goes Rabbanan, where did the Rabbanan say their din? Ki istul l'mechitza, only when the mechitzas are standing. Ki lestul l'mechitza, when the mechitzas is not standing, loy, the Rabbanan never said their din. So therefore, as the Rishonim explained, Amish is referring to a situation as follows. Ma'is Hasheni was brought to Yerushalayim, and then, at the same time that the city from where that Ma'is Hasheni originated became Eir Nidachas, and at the same time the walls of Yerushalayim fall down, and the Rishonim point out that we have to have a situation that most of the wall around Yerushalayim fell down, and therefore at that point you can take back that Ma'is Hasheni home, and therefore since you can take it back home, and home the city where it came from is Eir Nidachas, the halacha is Yignazu, that Ma'is Hasheni, because it's from Eir Nidachas, should be buried, but it's not Mamon Gavoya anymore because it was brought to Yerushalayim. Ask the Rishonim if we're saying that the entire din of Mechitzas around Yerushalayim make it impossible for Ma'is Hasheni to be taken out of Yerushalayim is only a din with Rabbanon. The din of Eir Nidachas is a din d'oraisa. The din of Kolot is only a din d'Rabbanon. So how could the din d'Rabbanon supersede the chiv d'Raisa that this is the Eir Nidachas? And therefore the Rishonim ask that even if the walls are standing, the halacha should be that it's treated like Ma'is Hasheni of the Eir Nidachas, that it should be buried. And in fact, the Ravid learns that way. Other Rishonim, however, suggest that once the Rabbanan said that the mechitzas of Yerushalayim are standing, you can't take it out of Yerushalayim, it loses, the Rabbanan have the ability, with the ability that they say Hefker Bezdin and Hefker, to say that this is not halachically considered the property of the Eir HaNidachas, and therefore all of the dinim of Eir HaNidachas do not apply to it. Similarly, the Ran takes a different approach. We learned in our previous year that even though the property owned by Rishon has to be brought back to the Eir HaNidachas to be burnt, we learned that that's only if it's that close that it can be brought back in one day. But if it can't be brought back in one day, we learned in our previous year, it doesn't have to be brought back. Says the Ran, taking it to Yerushalayim, even if physically Yerushalayim will be close to where this happened, is no different than taking it far away from the city. And just like we learned in the previous year, that if it was taken far away from the city, the halacha is, it doesn't have to be burnt, even if it was owned by Rishonim, the same din will apply over here. Says the Gemara, Kisvei Kodesh, the halacha is that if there are Kisvei Kodesh in the city, Yignazu, those Kisvei Kodesh should be buried. Says the Gemara, Nasnisin like Rebbe Lezer. Our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rebbe Lezer. The Tanya, for we learned in the Braisa, Rebbe Lezer Omer, Kol Ir Sheyesh by Fila Mezuzah Achas, any city that has even one mezuzah, Ein Anasis Ir Nidachas. That city cannot become an Ir Nidachas. Shenemar, for the Torah says, V'surafta be'eshes Ir, V'skola Asholola Kolil. Where is a mezuzah in town? Loyefshir. It's impossible to burn everything in the city, because the Torah says, the ksiv, loysasake l'Hashem l'keichem. And therefore, such a city can never become an Eir HaNidachas. And Rashi says that it's not only a mezuzah, the same will apply to svarim that are found in the city. If there are svarim in the city, that prevents the city from becoming an Eir HaNidachas. There is a machloikis amongst the Paiskim, what type of svarim could prevent a city from becoming Eir Nidachas. Some Paiskim say that it's only svarim that have in them the Shem Hashem, which are similar to a mezuzah. Other Paiskim say that any sefer is enough to save a city from being Eir Nidachas. There's also a question in the Achroinim, the Machs Avram discusses, what would be the halacha if there's a Beis HaKnesses in the city? Obviously, we'll have to be referring to Beis HaKnesses that doesn't have a mezuzah, nor does it have any svarim. Because once it has a mezuzah or svarim, it certainly won't be destroyed. Will a base of Knesset on its own have the ability of saving the city, according to Reb Elezer, from becoming in Hedachas? Furthermore, as the Mefarshim, yes, our Gemara just taught us that a Jew can't burn that city because it has a mezuzah or it has svarim, as I just discussed. But that halacha doesn't apply to Goyim. So why can't we ask a Goy to burn the city that has a mezuzah or sefer Torah? And actually, the Mefarshim take it a step further, because they ask, why don't we even allow a Jew to burn it? The way the Jew would burn it would be through a grama, because that is mutter. So the Paiskim answer that the halacha is that Ir HaNidachas has to be burnt. The halacha that Ir HaNidachas has to be burnt doesn't start teaching us that we have to start thinking about ways to be able to burn it. We have to burn it in the regular fashion. If it cannot be burnt in the regular fashion because of the situation that we just described, then there is no chiyuv sreifa, and we don't burn, and we don't have to do, we don't have to do any more. But then the Mefarshim ask another question. We know there's a halacha of essay daicha lois essay, and therefore they ask, why doesn't the essay, the chiyuv essay of burning the ir nidachas, be daicha the lois essay of loisasu kein l'Hashem l'keichem? Surah Moshe, in answer to this question, says that even though normally there's a halacha of essay daicha lois essay, we do not say essay daicha lois essay, says Rav Moshe, when it's a very significant loisasei. And Rav Moshe says the lav of loisasei ken l'shem l'keichem is a very significant loisasei, and we don't say esed doicha loisasei. Miches Chinuch gives a different explanation. He says even though the halacha is esed doicha loisasei, ain't esed doicha loisasei vasei. And says the Miches Chinuch, in destroying the name of Hashem, besides the loisasei of loisasei Kein l'Hashem l'keichem that our Gemara just quoted, there's also a mitzvah to say lira as a shem hanichbet. So here we have a mitzvah to say of burning the ir nidachas versus the mitzvah lois to say of leisasa kein l'Hashem l'keichem and the mitzvah to say of lira as a shem ain essay doich lois to say v'asay, and therefore according to Reb Elezer such a city would not be burnt. So the Meshech Chachma makes a very interesting observation. The Meshech Chachma says that, of course, and all the places can make this observation, that of course, even though we're learning that such a city is not burnt as the Ir Nidachas, the people in that city are trialed and treated like Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and they have a Chiyuv Skila. That doesn't change. However, they're not treated like the Ir Nidachas, that they're completely burnt. Furthermore, as we began this sugya about learning about our Ir Nidachas, we learned that the people of Ir Nidachas, at least according to the simple gears of the Mishnah, Eilam Chelek L'Olam Haba, have no share in the Olam Haba, says the Meshech Chachma. That's only if they're treated like Ir Nidachas. But this city that has the mezuzah is not treated like a regular Ir Nidachas. And therefore, even though the people in the city will be tried and punished like Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they will not be treated like Ovdei Ir Nidachas, and they will have a shear in Olam Haba. So he says that's pshat in what we say in Krishma. We say v'chsaftem al mezuzas beisecha. You should put a mezuzah on your door, and then we say l'man yiru yumeichem, which yumeichem in Olam Haba, the people of the city who have a mezuzah at least are guaranteed a shear by Olam Haba. Continues the Gemara. Rav Shimon Oymer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we learned in the Mishnah machloikis between Rabbi Gamliel, or between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosef Aglili, what could be done on the spot that was once an Ir HaNidachas? Rabbi Yosef Aglili's opinion was that that city may never be rebuilt. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, says it can't be rebuilt as an Ir HaNidachas, but it can be as a city, but it can be rebuilt to have gardens and orchards. Says the Mar, what is the machloek between Rabbi Kiva and Yosef Galili based on? Lame of the Rav Oven Amr Beloy Kamifligi. Dom Rav Oven Amr Beloy. Kam Makum Shatamaiti Klab Essay Uprat Beloy Sasei. Ain't a donor to Beklal Uprat. The Torah teaches us, we learned in the Bryce of Yishmol, klal uprat, and bechlal al mashe befrat. If you have a klal, and then you have a prat, a detail, the halach is ein bechlal al mashe befrat, we say that the prat defines the klal. Says Reb Ovin, let's say the klal is a mitzvah sasei, in this case, v'hoysa tel olam. The prat is a mitzvah loy sasei, as in this case, where the Torah uses the words loy sibona oid, it's not treated like a klal uprat. And therefore we keep intact the klal that says v'hoysa tel olam. It should remain forever destroyed. And as the Mashah says, so what does the prat teach us? Mashah, in trying to explain Rashi, says that Rashi has actually two pshatim. One pshat according to Rashi is that according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, whether one will rebuild the city as a city, or even just plant gardens and orchards, he'll be over mitzvah sasei and mitzvah loy sasei. That's one way the Mashah says Rashi holds. Another pshat is that if one rebuilds the city into a city, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, he'll be over both a mitzvah sasei and a mitzvah loy sasei. But if he only makes it gardens, he'll only be over mitzvah sasei, not a mitzvah loy sasei. So the Gemara is suggesting that Yosef Haglili follows Reb Ovin's explanation, and therefore we follow the original wording of a hoisatel oilam, and this city can't be rebuilt at all. Amar, on the other hand, Reb Kiva holds less like Reb Ovin, and therefore it's treated like a klal prat for hoisatel oilam loisi bana oid. It may not be rebuilt as a city, but it can be rebuilt as for gardens and orchards, says the Gemara Loi. That's not necessarily the way to understand the machloek between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosef Glili. Everybody could agree, Islay Drab Oven, that this is not a situation of a klal uprat. The way to understand the machloek is as follows. Ma'asava oid legamri mashma. Rabbi Yosef Glili says the words like sibonim oid means never again. This city can never be rebuilt in any way. Whereas Ma'asava Rabbi Kiva holds, it can't be rebuilt to the way it was, but to rebuild it, to just plant gardens and orchards, would be permissible. Continues the Gemara. If there were originally trees in that city, if there's trees in the city, so the law is as follows. Tolushin, trees that are detached, asurim, are prohibited. Mukhbarim, whereas trees that are still connected to the ground are mutarim. Why? Because the Torah says, "Ves kol shlola tikpoitz al toich rechava." So, explain the Rishonim in understanding the Gemara. Only such trees that only such items that just require that they be collected to the middle of the city. Those items have the din of ir nedachas. But something that besides gathering also needs cutting doesn't fall into the category of property of the Ir Nedachas. However, continues the Braisa, She'ir Echeres, Bein Tulush Bein Mukharim, whether it's detached or attached, the halacha is Osur. Ask the Gemara, Ma'i Ir Echeres, what does the Braisa mean when it speaks about an Ir Echeres? Omer Chizda, what it means, what it's referring to is Yerichoi. The Ksiv, Yeshua declared that Yericho should be treated as a city that's cherim, never to be rebuilt. And there are a number of pshatim in the Mefarshim as to why. Some explain, because since Yericho was the first city that was captured by Klal Yisrael, and there was a tremendous nace with the wall of Yericho collapsing, Hashem wanted that Yeshua wanted that should remain as a sign for what happened, for the nace that happened to Klal Yisrael forever. Another pshat is that since this happened on Shabbos, so Yeshua did not want that Klal Yisrael should have any benefit from Maaseh Shabbos, from something that happened on Shabbos. Another pshat that the Chasam Sofer suggests is that the Gemara in Masechta Yuma says that on Yom Kippur, a very interesting Gemara, the Gemara says that on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol would make an announcement, when he would say the Shem Hashem on the soil Hashem on Yom Kippur, it was Nishmai Kailai, we could hear his voice all the way to Yerichai. Says the Chasam Sofer, why does the Gemara specify it all the way to Yerichai? No other city in all other direction, because Yerichai is a city of Kedusha, and therefore specifically a city of Nisim, therefore specifically in the city of Yericho, could it be heard? Therefore, he says, it's very understandable why Yericho had to be left untouched, because it's such a holy city. Another pshat is that Yericho was a city actually of Avodah Zarah, a different direction, and Yeshua did not want to see that city being rebuilt. Before we go further, if so, how do we have people living nowadays and rebuilding in Yericho? So the Meshech Chochmah says that the din that Yericho can't be rebuilt is speaking to an individual. An individual may not go ahead and rebuild the city of Yericho, but if the community rebuilds Yericho, that din doesn't apply. Other Paiskim suggest that's only as long as the wall of Yericho lay in ruin. Once the wall is not laying there in ruin, so as we learned before, Yeshua wanted that broken wall, which was done through a nace, to remain. Once the wall isn't there, it's no problem. Other Paiskim, the Ma'ivadim, Vizmanim, suggest that once people already begin living there, the din that Yericho may not be rebuilt no longer applies. Says the Gemara, since we speak about Yericho, the Gemara goes into that chapter. V'yishav Yeshua be'esahi lemer, or ish lefnei Hashem, ashi yokim ubonai is ir azois as Yericho. Anybody who's going to rebuild Yericho, v'b'chayri yisodena, with his oldest son he will establish it, or v'tzirai, with his youngest son, yitziv d'laseha, his youngest son will die when he puts up the gates. Tanya, lo Yericho al-shem iracheres, one can build on the place where Yericho was, even if he no longer calls that name of the city Yericho. Somebody wants to build a different city and call it Yericho, a different place, but just call the city Yericho, that too is prohibited. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says in Malachim, Bona Chiel, Chiel from Beis Eli, built Yericho. And as the Mepharshim explained, why is the word spelled Yericho with a hay? Because it's indeed indicating it wasn't on the spot where Yericho was. He just built another city and called that city Yericho. And the pasuk says, "Baviram b'chayri yisada," with Aviram, his oldest son, he found it and put down the foundation. Of skuf tziroi hitzav d'laseh, and with skuf tziroi dying, his youngest son dying, he put up the gates. Tanya, and explains the brisa, "Baviram b'chayri rosha." When Aviram, his older son, this is what the Mashal explains the Gemara. When Aviram, his older son, died, he could have thought, you know, he died because he was a Rasha. Lehi Lilman. And therefore he didn't necessarily take it as a lesson that this is happening because he's rebuilding the city this way. However, B'skuf Tziroi, when his youngest son already died, he should have taken the lesson that they're dying because he did something wrong. Ask the Gemara, Aviram Skuv May Ovid. Where did we establish that Aviram was a Rasha, that Skuv wasn't a Rasha? Says the Mahach Kama. This is the way to understand the Braisa. Baviram Habichairai Hailai Limelais Rasha B'Skuv Tziirai. That if Aviram, his oldest son, is dying, and his youngest son is dying, he can no longer assume, or he should no longer assume, that this is all happening because his children are Rishon. Because even if he could say that his older son passed away because he was a Rasha, once his other child died, he should have started thinking there must be a different reason why they're dying. Ask the Gemara, Mimash Mishanem Baviram Bechaira, once we said that Aviram was the oldest one, any idea, isn't it obvious that Skuv Tziroi, that Skuv is the younger one? Matam Lami, so why does the Pasuk use the words Skuv Tziroi? Answers the Gemara, to teach us, Melamed he had other children beside Aviram Skuv, and all of his children died, starting with his oldest one Aviram and ending with his youngest one Skuv. Says the Gemara, what happened after Chiel's children passed away? Says the Gemara, Achav Shishbina Hava. Achav was a good friend of Chiel. Also Iuv Eliyahu L'Mishal B'Shlomo Beit Tanya. Both he and Eliyahu Hanavi went to Menachem Avol Chiel. And as the Mepharshim explained, why did Eliyahu Navi, the great tzaddik, go be Menachem Avol this Rasha? So Mepharshim explained, because Eliyahu Navi, as Al Gemara is teaching, thought that Chiel maybe made an innocent error, that he didn't know that you're not allowed to build another city and call that city Yerichai. Yosef Akama and Achav was sitting there and saying, Dilma Kimelet Yeshua, perhaps when Yeshua made this klala, or anybody rebuilding Yerichai, Hachilot. Indeed, his klala was, as we're learning, the Lo Yerichai Shem Iracheres, V'Lo Iracheres V'Shem Yerichai. Somebody, no one could build Yerichai, the spot where Yerichai was, even if he calls it another name, or he can't build another place and call it Yerichai. Amalei Eliyo, and that's why Achav was suggesting, that's why this happened to you. Amalei Eliyo, so Eliyo hearing what Achav is suggesting, says, indeed, that's what Yeshua meant. Amalei, so when says Achav to Eliyo, Hashtel v'tosu the Moshe loy kamakayma, the klala the Moshe Rabbeinu gave Klal Yisrael has not been fulfilled. The Ksibah, because the pasuk says in Krishma, "V'satam avatam elohim acherim." If Klal Yisrael chas v'shalom go worship other avodah zarah, the Ksibah v'char af Hashem b'chem v'atzas Hashemayim, Hakadosh Baruch Hu will get angry and hold back the rain. V'hu gavra, and says Achav about himself, "I oikum la'avodah kacham akol tlam v'tlam." I established an avodah zarah on every furrow in Eretz Yisrael, and still v'lo shafgalei mitra the maze of mizgalei, that the rain still comes. Levitasu the Yeshua. So why the curse of Yeshua, who was only Talmida, who was only the Talmud of Yeshua Mekaima? So this is what Achav did to undermine the authority of Yeshua's klala. But before we go further, the Mefarshim indeed ask, why is it indeed that Moshe Rabbeinu's curse didn't come through, yet Yeshua's curse did come through? So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is because the pasuk uses the words "Vavadetem Mehera." Mehera, Hakadosh Baruch Hu will do it. Mehera, the Mehera of Hakadosh Baruch Hu is not the Mehera of ours, and therefore his stem will still take. Make the klala happen, but when he decides that it's already Mehera. Another pshat is the klala of Yeshua was on a yochid, on an individual who will rebuild Yerichai, and therefore it was quicker to become fulfilled, whereas the klala of Moshe Rabbeinu is on a rabbim, and a rabbim HaKadosh Baruch Hu always treats differently, and he's not that quick to bring about the klala. Another teretz that the Inyakov suggests is that the klala of Yeshua, not only was it a klala, but also had a shvua attached to it. Whereas the klala of Moshe Rabbeinu did not have a shvua attached to it, so it's not as severe of a klala. Furthermore, there's a very interesting tshuva chasam sofer. There's a machlokes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, which is actually a machlokes between Sfardim and Ashkenazim, how to write the ches in a sefer Torah. Rashi says that the ches is written with a flat tap. Rabbeinu Tam says that it's written with a pointy tap. Says the Chasam Sofer, even the Sfardim who follow the minig of Rashi to have a ches with a flat tap, the ches on top of the words of Achara Af Hashem Bechem, the Sfardim should make with a tap pointing up. To teach us that even, and the reason for that is our Gemara, that the pasuk says regarding Hashem, Chai Anoichi L'Olam, Hashem is here forever. And even though he doesn't bring his curse now, he asked time to bring his curse because he's always going to be available, he's always going to be around to bring his curse. That's why the pasuk has the Ches. V'chara, you know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if he gets angry, doesn't bring his curse immediately? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in heaven. And he's here forever, Chayni La'olam, and therefore he'll bring the curse when he feels it's the time to bring the curse. As Eliyo hears these terrible words that Achav utters against Hashem, V'yad v'yom Eliyo atishvi v'toish v'egilet Chay Hashem alkei Yisrael imyir talamotar. You'll see, there won't be any rain. Boy Rachman Idavin v'havalei aklid the mitra. Hashem gave him the key of rain, the Kamva Ozel, and he took it and prevented and he stopped the rain from coming. Continues the Gemara. V'yidhi dvar Hashem elav lema. Hashem says to Eliyahu, you need to hide. Bleich mizeh ufenisla chacheda v'nestata b'nachla bris. Go hide from Acha. But what? How did Eliyahu have food during the time that he hid? For avim mevi'in lo lechem b'basav b'baikar. The ravens would bring him food. Mehecha, from where did they bring him food? Says the Gemara, Amr Yudam Rav, Mebeitabai Dachav. They brought him from the kitchens of Achav. And the Gemara, Mesech Techulin, asks, how could have Eliyahu Hanavi eaten from that food? To teach us, it isn't a non-kosher food. So the Gemara says that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this nes, that he should bring, that this food should be brought to Eliyahu Hanavi, obviously the food was kosher food. Why specifically did that food have to be the food that Eliyahu HaNavi should get? Couldn't Hashem bring him other food? So one teretz is because Hashem wanted to show a neis that specifically the Achav, who was the victim of Eliyahu's curse, was the and was angry, as we're learning, at Eliyahu, should be the one to nourish him and support him during these times. Another pshat is because we know that the one that was the administrator of Achav's home was a Vajid Tzaddik, and Eliyahu should get food specifically from that Tzaddik. V'himi keitz yomim, v'yivash hanachal, klohayim gashim v'aretz. The drought gets worse, the river dries up. Kivin dechazad de'ikat tzar ba'alma. So Hashem sees this terrible tzar in the world, and that Eliyahu HaNavi is still not willing to give in and forgive and give and let there be rain and let there be rain, says the pasuk. V'hi yachad v'ma elo chol ish ben baal sabayis. V'hi k'siv yidvar Hashem leim kum leich tzarfasa. So the pasuk says Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Eliyahu to go to tzarfasa. V'siv v'hi yachad v'ma elo chol ben ish baal sabayis. And Eliyahu staying by this woman whose son dies, and Eliyahu wants to be mechayim meisim this child. By rachmas we daven tashem the mitten le'aklidet tchias meisim, that Hashem give him the key for tchias meisim. Amalei, to which Hashem responded to Eliyahu HaNavi. Shlosh mafteches le'nimsru l'shliach. The three keys that weren't given over to a malach. Shalchaya, machlokes, what does it mean? The ability to conceive, or when a child of a pregnant woman should get born. Shalgishamim, the key of rain, and the key of tchias hameisim. Those keys Hashem holds on to. Why those three keys specifically? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is, because those three things represent Yesh Me'ayin, where Kadosh Baruch Hu creates something where there was nothing there before, which is specifically referring to the characteristic of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Another pshat that I saw is because those keys, the Gemara says that these are things that Loi B'Schusam Talya Milsa Ella B'Mazel Talya Milsa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to maintain the control of these things. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Eliyahu, if I now give you the key of Tchias HaMesim, and you already have the key of rain, Yoimru, what will happen is that people will say that Shtayim B'yad Talmud, that two of the three keys are in the hands of the Talmud, V'echad B'yad Rav, and one is by me. I see her. So in other words, Hashem says to him, give me back the key of rain for Shakal Hai. Because it's as is obvious in our Gemara, Hashem was not satisfied with Eliyahu's tough stand against Achav. Tiksiv lech haralei Achav v'at namata Kadosh Baruch Hu will give rain. Dar shalu lo kamei d'Rav Chisda. Moshe d'Eliyahu l'mad David Doima. How do we understand this whole story with Eliyahu HaNavi? L'gavre d'takel gali with somebody locked the gate v'avdil miftachei and he lost the key. Meaning, Eliyahu had the key, but Eliyahu gave up the key and therefore had no longer any more control over it. Says the Gemara, Dar Shabbi Yossi B'Tzipari. Shabbi Yossi was once in Tzipari, and he said the following drasha, Ab Eliyahu, our father Eliyahu. And again, the Mefarshim say, why does he call him Ab Eliyahu? To teach us that even though Eliyahu HaNavi was the great tzaddik, and he would normally was Abba, he was like a father who had great pity and mercy on his children. Here, he took a tough stand. Abba Eliyahu Kabtan was sort of a tough person. So Mefarshim asks, Chofetz Chaim discusses it, isn't this Lashon Hara? So Chofetz Chaim says, Eliyahu HaNavi did not consider this Lashon Hara. He felt that his actions were very warranted. And why did Rabbi Yossi feel the need to say this about Eliyahu? Say to Mefarshim, because in order for people to have success in their learning, they have to have anova, they have to be humble and modest, and that's why he was trying to teach him the repercussions of being a captain, and therefore he said, even Eliyahu HaNavi, the great Eliyahu HaNavi, should not have taken such a very tough stand. Havragel Meisa Gabei, Eliyahu HaNavi typically came to Rabbi Yossi every day to learn with him. But once he used this wording about him, Ichsimine Tlosa Yom Veloyosa, he didn't come to see him for 3 days. And the Mefarshim say that from here we see that the maximum amount of time that a tzaddik is left b'tzar is 3 days. Kiyosa, when Eliyahu finally showed up, Amalei Amaylo Yosemar, so he asked him, why did you indeed not come all this time? So Eliyahu responds to him, Captain Carisley, you call me a captain and you think you're gonna insult me and you think I'm gonna come? Amalei, isn't this the best proof that you're a captain? The fact that I said this about you and now you refuse to come? And that's why he defended himself. The Pasuk says, the Mishnah said, the Pasuk says regarding Ir Nidachas, ask the Marman Rishayim, who are the Rishayim the Gemara refers to? Amrav Yosef Ganvi. We're referring to Ganovim. Why are Rishayim from all the Averis, why is Geneva picked out as the example of Rishon? So I saw a number of explanations. One explanation is because we know that the Gemara says the difference between a Ganef and a Gazlan is a Gazlan who is someone who does it publicly. A Ganef is someone who does it not publicly. So what the Gemara is saying is that a person who does something not publicly is because he thinks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't see what we're doing. That shows a tremendous lack of Yiras Shemayim, and that's why he's considered the epitome of Rishus. Another pshat that I saw is that actually any time someone does an Aveira, he's a Ganef. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us certain strengths, and if we use the talents and the strengths that we get from Hashem to do the wrong thing, we are ganavim, we are stealing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to use for the wrong purpose. The Yaris Tavash gives a different explanation. The Yaris Tavash says that the way a person can be saved is by giving tzedakah matan b'seser. But if somebody is a ganav, then everything he has is really not his, and therefore he doesn't have the ability to give matan b'seser that he should be saved. Continue the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Rosh Bal Olam, when a Rosh comes to the world, Charoin Bal Olam, there's a terrible anger comes to the world at that time. Shnei Mevar Rosh Bal Gamboz V'Gam Koilam V'Cherpa. Rosh Avad Ma'olam, when a Rosh leaves the world, Toiva Bal Olam, it's wonderful for the world. Shnei Mar Ubavoid Rishoim Rina. Tzadik Niftam Olam, and the Mefarshim point out, when a Rosh leaves the world, the Gemara uses the word Avad. When a tzaddik leaves the world, the Gemara uses the word nifter. Why does the Gemara use the word nifter? Because the rule is that ein tzaddik nifter, atchabot tzaddik haveroi. Even if a tzaddik leaves the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure to replace it. So he's nifter, he's leaving us, but he's being replaced. Tzaddik nifter min ha'olam, rosh ha'olam. Shenem ha'tzaddik avad ve'en ish samalev. Ve'anshi chesed nasofim bein mevin. Kibnei ha-ro nesaf ha-tzadik. Tzadik bo-loilim. Whereas when a tzadik comes to the world, tova bo-loilim, tremendous good comes to the world, shenema zayin achmeinu maseinu mitzvah yedeinu, by the birth of Noach, Hashem said, I have been comforted. And in fact, the Ksav Sofer says that this is the basis, perhaps, why a birthday of a tzadik should be celebrated. Because the Gemara says, when tzadik bo-loilim, tova bo-loilim. Why does the Gemara specifically end with speaking about Noach? So one pshat that the Mashal suggests is that the Gemara wants the Gemara is our whole parak has spoken about Mashiach, and just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to Noach, swore there will no longer be a Mabul. So to Hashem has promised that Mashiach will come, which is what has been the primary subject of our parak. But there's another pshat, which is actually based on the words of the Be'er Me'im Chaim. The Be'er Me'im Chaim explains that the Medrash says that when Noach was born, the reason he was called Noach was that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had cursed Adam HaRishon, that it should be difficult for him to grow produce from the ground. But Noach was the one that invented tools with which to plant, and therefore he was called Noach. Asked the Be'er Me'im Chaim, but that didn't happen as soon as he was born. The answer, he says, is that when a tzaddik is born, as our Gemara teaches us, the tzaddik brings oira, the tzaddik brings light to the world. And even though Noach was just a baby, and he certainly didn't yet invent tools the day he was born, he did bring a measure of light and or and toiv to the world, and that's why he was already immediately called Noach. So says the Be'er Me'im Chaim, as we finish out a perek that speaks about Mashiach, that even though we haven't yet been zoicha to see the oiroi shel Mashiach, the brilliant light and the brilliant, wonderful world that we've learned about of Mashiach and Olam Haba and Tchias HaMeisim, but all of us recognize that when we see a tzaddik, we recognize this Toiva Ba'olam, that Amunah should sustain us to believe that there will be Or for Toiv, there will be light and good in the world, in Bikorei B'yameinu, B'bias Mashiach Tzidkenu, B'mheir B'yameinu, Amen. Hadronloch Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelak, Hadronloch Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelak, Hadronloch Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelak.